Well, we've seen how unholy propaganda through the media has transformed the nation for the worst. How about some holy propaganda shaking this country?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I am pumped. I am excited. I am focused. I'm thrilled to have this time on the air with you today. I believe you will be stirred. I believe faith will be built in your own heart. I believe vision will be expanded as we talk about the power, the potential of holy propaganda. Oh, yeah, I'll make it plain. I'll tell you exactly what we're talking about and how you can be part of it. Every one of us can be part of this. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Got a simple question for you that I want to ask through the broadcast today. How effective do you feel secular media has been? Be it the news, be it sitcoms, be it movies, be it secular media via other sources, how effective do you believe secular media, particular secular worldly media, has been in terms of changing the hearts and minds and perceptions of America? How effective do you feel it has been? How much of the thinking of, say, the younger generation or your average American, how much of the thinking has been affected by secular media, for better or for worse? 866-348-7884. I've got another question for you. How effective do you feel that Christian media has been in impacting the culture, impacting the views, the mindsets of the culture, the society as a whole, and the church in particular? How effective do you feel secular worldly media has been in bringing about change in perception, mindset, opinion in the society at large? How effective do you feel the church has been through all the means, resources we have, be it through Christian radio and TV, be it through social media, be it through other means that we have? How effective have we been? 866-348-7884. I'm going to really share my heart as honestly and candidly as I can over the course of this broadcast. And I believe as I do, something's going to ignite in you. Something's going to spark in you. Faith is going to rise in you. Vision is going to rise in you. Encouragement and courage is going to come to you. Before I get into that, though, before I read some quotes to you that you might find shocking as well, I want to give a special announcement. Tomorrow on the Line of Fire broadcast, we are having our pre-trib rapture call-in day. I have personally not held to a pre-trib rapture for more than 35 years based on my understanding of Scripture, but I've worked with folks who are pre-tribbers for decades. I never divide over it. This will not be a hostile broadcast, but I want to give you the opportunity to call in and give your scriptural reasons as to why you hold to a pre-trib rapture. That will be all during the broadcast tomorrow, both hours of the broadcast. This is a special listener call-in day, our first ever pre-trib rapture call-in day for the nation. All right, we come back. I'm going to share some things with you, some strategy that was put on the table by activists in the late 1980s. You'll be amazed to see what they laid out, how they said it's going to happen, and how it happened in front of our eyes. And you'll be amazed to know some background to the rise of radical Islam in Iran and what helped spark that revolutionary movement there. And then my vision for holy propaganda right here today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today about the need for holy propaganda, the need for God's people to be a voice to the nation and for leaders to be a voice to the church, for the power of information, truthful information, getting into people's hands so as to bring about change. Before I share my heart with you, here's my question for you. How much do you think that the viewpoint of America today, where America stands on various moral and social issues, you read the latest polls about changes in viewpoints, say with redefining marriage, so-called same-sex marriage. How much has secular media influenced the thinking, the mindset of the culture, the public? How much has the church media made an impact? 866-348-7884. In the late 1980s, in a well-known book called After the Ball, written by two Harvard-trained gay sociologists, Kirk and Madsen, they called for this specifically. This was to change the viewpoint of America, and their views represented the views of many, many other gay activists in terms of a strategy. They called for, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Can I read this to you again? This was their strategy. This was articulating what many other gay activists felt had to happen. They called for, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. And the success of that strategy has been nothing less than mind-boggling. Look, we all have our propaganda, our message to get out. Every group, every organization that has passion, that has conviction, has a message they want to get out, and that is their propaganda. Is it good or is it bad? Is it constructive? Is it destructive? That's the question. In 1999, I saw a video on PBS that had a life impact on me to this very day. It was about the rise of religious fundamentalism worldwide, beginning in countries like Iran, but then moral majority Christian fundamentalism in America. It looked at the phenomenon around the world. And here you have this old man, Ayatollah Khomeini, who's been exiled by the Shah of Iran. And he's now in France, and he's teaching in France, and his teachings are being recorded on cassette tape. And they are then smuggled into Iran. And the Iranian mullahs, the Muslim preachers and leaders, would then take his audio message themes and convert them into their own sermons and preach in the mosques. And that so fomented an Islamic revolution in Iran that the Shah had to flee for his own life before the Muslim uprising that was sparked by audio messages smuggled into the country by Ayatollah Khomeini. Now, there are a bunch of things in that video that impacted me. It was called God Fights Back. But I'll tell you what has stayed with me in particular. The power of a message for good or for evil. The power of a message on tape in those days, through the airwaves in different ways, in written form. The power of that. Look, when I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America, I had a whole chapter in the book on the celebration of queer in Hollywood. It's called Brokeback Mountain, The Fab Five, and Hollywood Celebration of Queer. Listen to this quote from Michael Kinsley, June 2007, Time Magazine. The debate of 14 years ago about gays in the military seems almost quaint. Kids grow up today with gay friends, gay parents of friends, and gay friends of parents. Kids are also exposed constantly to an entertainment culture in which gays are not merely accepted, but in some ways dominant. You rarely see a reality show without a gay cast member, while Rosie O'Donnell is a coveted free agent and Ellen DeGeneres is America's sweetheart. Elizabeth Taylor famously said, if it weren't for gays, honey, there wouldn't be a Hollywood. Film critic Michael Medved said this, a Martian gathering evidence about American society simply by monitoring our television would certainly assume that there were more gay people in America than there are evangelical Christians. And it also assumed this, that every gay person in America is kind-hearted, creative, funny, and loving, and every evangelical Christian in America is bigoted, mean-spirited, angry, and hateful. And raging hypocrites above all. Listen, friends, that is some of the power of media. That is how minds and hearts have been shaped and influenced in our country. That is how people who are often not thinking through the issues get their information and make their decisions. Look, you may like Rush Limbaugh, you may not like Rush Limbaugh, but there is no question that his voice on radio has had a dynamic impact to the point that the news media, the secular news media, is constantly talking about him and even claiming that he's influencing party politics with Republicans or Democrats are reacting to him and so on. He's just one man on the radio. One of the station managers of one of our great radio stations here in America told me, as he got saved around the same time I did, the early 70s, and came out of the counterculture revolution of the 60s, he said to me, Mike, whoever controls the airwaves controls the nation. That's why we need to get the Christian message out on radio. That's why he became a radio station manager. And friends, there is absolutely a place for Christian teaching and preaching on radio day and night. Let it come forth. Let the teachers continue to raise their strong voices. Let the message go forth in 100 different ways from the pulpits in written form, on internet, radio, TV. But there's also a need for voices that are addressing what's happening in the culture in a live talk format like this, that are tackling the issues and along with you saying, let's spread some holy propaganda. Can I be honest with you? Can I speak to you from my heart, make myself vulnerable? Well, when I write a book like this, when I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America, I wrote the book with the sincere hope that God would use it to help awaken the conscience of the nation. Look, when I wrote this book, Time for Holy Fire, I wrote it with the hope that it would help spark revival in America. When I wrote Our Hands Are Stained with Blood over 20 years ago, I wrote this book with the hope that it would help the church feel the pain of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But when I wrote this book, Revolution, I've got them all here on my desk. In fact, you can watch this on video later today as we are recording this on video as I speak to you live across the nation. When I wrote this book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, or its current title, Revolution, the Jesus Call to Change the World, I wrote this with the sincere hope that these words would help spark a moral and cultural revolution in America. Friends, I'm just one person. You're just one person. But with God, all things are possible. And I want to encourage you to take courage today. I want to encourage you to begin to think outside of the box. Maybe you're a young person and God's given you a vision for a blog or for a way to communicate via YouTube or through something we haven't heard about yet. Maybe God will make you a pioneer and forerunner. Why does it always have to be just the worldly people who are the pioneers and forerunners and so much of media development that's out there? Maybe God can help you be a voice in your local community. Maybe it can spark in your school system. Maybe as we stand together with this radio broadcast, there can be a ripple effect through the country. That's why I'm on the air every single day as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Look, friends, things are happening in the news. Every day people say, Mike, have you heard about this? So I wrote about it 2 years ago in this book. Mike, did you hear about this? You know, we actually covered that on the radio 2 weeks ago. Mike, have you heard about this? Yeah, I just wrote about it in an article, and it's online now. In other words, we are right on top of what is happening, seeking to be like the sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And now, friends, July 10th, that's just barely 3 weeks away, not even. July 10th, we get to launch a national TV show called Answering Your Toughest Questions that will start airing in more than 32 million homes across the nation. I say it's time for holy propaganda to have its nation-changing effect, and I want to encourage you and urge you to stand with me so together we can make a difference. All right, I have shared my heart and unburdened my heart and taken you on the inside of what's going on inside of me. When I come back, I want to share some interesting information with you about some polling data that raises serious questions to me in terms of the impact we're making. And then let's hear from our Attorney General, Eric Holder, as he shares his vision of how he wants to change the thinking of the nation concerning one particular important social area.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, what's your take? 866-348-7884. What's your take on the effect of secular media on our culture? What's your take on how opinions have been shaped? 866-348-7884. Eric Holder, as you know, our Attorney General, continues to campaign for gun control. And I'm not going to get into gun control today, okay? I'm not going to get into a discussion about gun control. So if you want to discuss that, wrong show to call in on, all right? However, what I do want to talk to you about is his view as to how the media can get people's opinions and thinking to change. It's part of what I'm talking about. Is the culture being brainwashed, and are we adequately presenting the truth of our views? Got some really interesting survey info I want to get to in a moment. But let's listen to Mr. Holder as he speaks about this at a press conference.
I want to have, as part of the gun initiative, though, an informational campaign to really change the hearts and minds of people in Washington, D.C., and in particular, our young people. And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people, and make it something that's not cool, that it's not acceptable, it's not hip to carry a gun anymore. In the way in which we've changed our attitudes about cigarettes, you know, when I was growing up, people smoked all the time. I mean, both my parents did. But over time, we changed the way in which people thought about smoking, and so now we have people who cower outside of buildings and kind of smoke in private and don't want to admit it. And that's what I think we need to do with guns, really change the way in which people think about that, to think about guns.
Yeah, so get the media involved, get a campaign, get people thinking differently. I've got a few more quotes of his to play as well in a moment. 866-348-7884. Okay, same-sex marriage polling, so-called same-sex marriage, late March of this year, got reported widely. How 1996, 70% of Americans opposed it, and now that number is something like down to, 42%? Oppose it. Of course, some of it is how the question is raised. And when you look at polling in terms of another poll came out in May, Americans' views towards a number of moral issues have shifted significantly since 2001. Their acceptance of gay and lesbian relations has increased the most, up 19 percentage points in the past 12 years to a record high of 59% today. At the same time, according to a press release I was just sent right before the show started from the Center for the Study of American Culture and Faith, 90% of conservative pastors say that American society should not accept homosexuality. And yet when you trickle that down to, say, a lot of their constituents, white evangelicals, it's only 61% of the constituents, which makes me wonder how loudly we are raising our voice as pastors and leaders, even to our own people, with love, with compassion, with truth. If we're not rightly impacting our own people, our own listeners, how are we going to impact society? All right, 866-34-TRUTH to the phone, starting with Douglas. Lost Doug. We just lost a couple of folks. I wonder if the drones are out again today. In fact, let me step away from the phones for a moment. I'm joking about the drones. And just ask you out of curiosity, purely out of curiosity. I'm sure we could do lots of shows on this. But what are your own feelings towards Edward Snowden, the young man who worked with the NSA, who has now leaked what he says the government has been doing under the Bush administration, the Obama administration, all types of eavesdropping and intrusions into our privacy? Just curious. I'm just curious to know if you think he's a hero, if you think he's a traitor. I may even take a few calls on that just for fun, 866-348-7884. But look, think this through with me, okay? Think this through with me. According to the Center for the Study of American Culture and Faith, conservative pastors refuse to budge on homosexuality. This was just released right before my show started. Theologically conservative pastors are known for their unwavering stance on many issues, and homosexuality is at the top of the list. A recent survey shows that conservative pastors refuse to compromise their beliefs or succumb to cultural pressures on this controversial issue. The nationwide survey conducted by the Center for the Study of American Culture and Faith discovered that 9 out of every 10 conservative pastors maintain that homosexuality should be discouraged by society. Only 1 out of every 20 conservative pastors, 5%, say homosexuality should be accepted by society, and 5% are still wrestling with the issue. And yet their largest numbers of constituents, conservative pastors on this list, would often be white conservative pastors. So white evangelicals, only 61% had the same viewpoint. You say that's strong. It's not strong when 90% of the leaders have this viewpoint. So are we even effectively communicating to our own constituents, let alone to society as a whole? And again, just out of curiosity, I'm wondering how you feel about Edward Snowden, who has now leaked all this highly sensitive information about American eavesdropping. Is he a hero to be commended? Is he a treasonous traitor? I'm just curious to know that. Obviously, it's not our main focus today, but feel free to give me a call. Okay. All of you listening to me, do you love your pastor? Do you love the leader of the church that you go to, the congregation you're part of? I want to encourage you to give them a gift. I preached a message at a leadership conference 15 years ago called Politician, Professional, or Prophet, at a leadership conference with about 1,500 people there in Pensacola, Florida. And that message had a radical impact on the hearers. And it has impacted those who've listened in the years since. I have a few on a CD, along with my 5x7 card, 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. And I want to encourage you to get a copy of this, or get one for yourself, but then give it to your pastor leader, just as a word of encouragement. Say, pastor, brother, sister, whoever's leading your group, I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. And this is a message from Dr. Brown to encourage you to stand strong. Get a copy, will you? And as you do that, you're helping us send out a message to the nation. It's available for your gift of any size. So call right now to take advantage of that. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. When you go to the website, click on the first slide. It'll take you to a clip about my TV show. Go there today. Find out what's coming in July. TV across the nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I wrote an important article yesterday afternoon. It is now posted on the Charisma News website. It's called Six Lessons from the Collapse of Exodus International. I've been shared well over 1,000 times in the first 3 hours it's been up. So it's getting a lot of attention. So I encourage you to check it out. And we're talking today about the need for holy propaganda. We're talking about the need to get our message out to the nation in a way that will bring about change. Why is it that American views have shifted so dramatically, say, and just use one case in point, in terms of homosexuality, in terms of same-sex so-called marriage? Why have the shifts been so dramatic? Is it simply because Americans are becoming more enlightened? Is it simply because Americans are just in general backsliding from biblical values? Is it just everybody now has a gay friend because of which they want to change the laws and the culture? Or is it largely because of the influence of the media? Look, the secular media can present something to you in such a way, pull your heartstrings in such a way, get your emotions going in such a way, give you limited information. How many TV shows mock the idea that homosexual men and women can change? How many TV shows, be it in a sitcom, be it in some crime show and it's just weaved into the story there, be it in the latest Lisa Ling interview or Anderson Cooper piece or whatever it is, how many denigrate that idea that real change is possible? How many, in contrast, have testimonies from the thousands and thousands and thousands who've been changed? And from credible people in ministry and in the professional world who are helping people change. Oh, you don't hear that side of the story, do you? Well, your average American is not going to process that properly based on that type of misinformation. Are we getting the truth out? 866-348-7884. Okay, real quick. I'm curious to know your opinion on Eric Snowden. Is he a hero for exposing eavesdropping and things like that that should not be happening in our culture? Or is he a traitor who should be tried and who has hurt American security greatly? I'm just curious to see what your feelings are. And it does tie in indirectly to my subject. All right, Tom and Patrick on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your take on Eric Snowden?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I think he's a hero. And I think the government's been doing a lot of things that aren't right. And I think that he sees things that aren't right. He's seen something was right. And I think the public does have a right to know what the government has been up to.
Got it. And Tom, do you have any background yourself with military or with the government?
I was in the Navy for 5 years. And
got it.
As a matter of fact, I'm reading Agenda 21 right now. I printed it off the UN website, and it's got a lot of scary stuff in it. And I know that our government's involved, doing things that goes against the Constitution, and it's really upsetting to me, but I think the public at large doesn't know what's going on.
Got it. All right, Tom, thank you for weighing in on that. I appreciate it. Yeah, I know the phone lines are going to light up on this, but I'm happy to take some calls because I'm curious to see what the perception is, if people feel that our privacies are being invaded, our private lives, our private conversations are being invaded, if the government could be going the way of George Orwell's 1984, Big Brother, thought crimes, what are you thinking? All right, back with your calls and a whole lot more about the need for holy propaganda.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown talking about the need for holy propaganda. When I wrote the book Revolution, I wrote it fully believing that the message of the gospel is subversive to the world's society and the world's values, that the kingdom of God advancing through the gospel undermines the kingdom of Satan and undermines the kingdoms of this age. And when the book came out, by it's a whole miraculous story I don't think I have time to get into today. But when the book came out, the day it came out, September 2nd of 2000, we gave away more than 70,000 copies of the book. Retail value of about $1 million of books were given away that day at the largest gathering of Christian young people in America's history, before then or since then. Several hundred thousand coming together to pray and fast and seek the face of God. And I know people around America and in different countries who got the book and read the book, and their hearts were stirred, and they said, we can bring about change through the gospel. Our voices, our lives, our message in the inner city, in the streets, in the universities, through the media, we can bring about change. Secular media is doing a wonderful job, in the wrong sense of the word, though, a wonderful job of changing minds, changing opinions, changing viewpoints. That's without the power of the Spirit, friends. What can we do with the power of the Spirit, with the truth that we're standing with? 866-348-7884. Before I go back to the phones, I am looking at the homepage of my website right now, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. I'm looking at the homepage, and the very first slide that comes up on the homepage is announcing my new TV show, Answering Your Toughest Questions. A door has been opened to us at an amazing rate. Just to be straight with you, just to get things up and running for these coming months, we've gotten some startup funds. Donate to us. We only need about another $15,000 to really get things moving forward effectively for this year. We will be on the NRB TV network, which gets into more than 32 million homes right off the bat. And then there are other ways you can watch it with those that are tech savvy with Roku and Apple TV and other things, or with your own apps, Android app, or watch online. So the potential of reaching folks is amazing. The show is called Answering Your Toughest Questions. And we start with something that's never been done in TV history, 32 weeks on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Can you imagine the impact we can have equipping believers and reaching Jewish people who don't know the Lord and helping those who've fallen away? And that's just where we're starting, where we can go with the show. The sky is the limit. That's to supplement everything we do daily on radio and in writing. I want to encourage you to be part of that, because we do need help to move this forward and then to really expand what we're doing. So go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and right on the homepage, you'll see the first slide that comes up. We're going to be on national TV. Click on that link, and you'll be able to watch a great presentation that'll give you a vision for the show and let you know how you can be part of that. 866-34-TRUTH. I will take a few more calls on the Edward Snowden issue in a moment, but let's first go to Michael in Butler, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for taking my call. My point is that I think that we live in a culture that's been totally subverted. And a couple of examples that I would give is, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic, and, you know, the church has always taught that homosexuality is wrong, or rather the act is what's intrinsically wrong and evil. But, you know, as you know, the Pope just came out and said that there is a homosexual faction within the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's this big issue with that, where you have this infiltration of liberal ideas that are going into conservative institutions. So it kind of subverts and undermines a lot of what these traditional values, they're trying to come through these institutions to influence the culture, when it's, you know, you're having a total opposite effect by what's actually taking place, by what the leaders of the church are promoting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, so what about as far as the influence of the media on the culture? We absolutely know that there are many with different viewpoints who have an influence in even conservative institutions and religious institutions and the like. What about the role of secular media just on the culture, your average American in general?
Yeah, I definitely think it plays into the fact that people want to be liked and people don't want to be seen as a bigot. They want to be a part of the groupthink. They don't want to take a stand. I think the only way that things will change is if people are willing to sacrifice something, whether it be their job, their income, their career, not being liked, not being popular. Something will need to be sacrificed, maybe losing friends, because the majority of people, and I'm speaking for people from, you know, 18 to 40, are immersed into a liberal mindset since their childhood. So
Let me just jump in and say this. According to Washington Post, going all the way back to 2005, I believe things have greatly intensified since then. 2005, 72% of those teaching in American universities and colleges are liberal, and 15% are conservative. At the elite schools, so-called elite schools, 87% of the faculty are liberal and 13% are conservative. November 10th, 2012, one of the most comprehensive surveys is the Campus Climate Index of the 35 schools with CCI public ratings in the New England area. 19 have a rating of 4.5 or 5 stars, so they are very, very highly rated. And they, of course, lean in the extreme liberal bent, all of them. And so the question, Michael, is really this. Okay, then how do we bring about change? Obviously, there has to be awakening in the church first, but doesn't it mean we need more public school teachers? Thank God for Christian schools. And many of you left the public school and are working sacrificially in Christian schools, and many of you sacrificed in a homeschool. But there's a ton of people to reach in the public school system. How many are called to go there? We have a vision for grads of Fire School of Ministry to go on from our school, which is an undergrad school, and then get graduate-level degrees and infiltrate every area of society with the gospel. Not trying to take over and impose our views, but with the life-transforming message of the gospel. And then are we raising our voices with clarity, with articulation as pastors and teachers and leaders? Friends, I constantly hear from people, Mike, thank God you're taking a stand for this. Thank God you're speaking up for this. And you know what it tells me? They're not enough doing it. Oh yeah, help me raise my voice even more loudly and more clearly and get into more and more stations across America and impact people more and more profoundly. Yes, but how can we help raise up millions more voices to go far beyond anything we've done? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Dave in Hooksett, New Hampshire. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having this program. You're a blessing to all of us. We need more information that's unfiltered. And be assured that they are waning in their effect, but yes, the media has a huge effect with shaping public opinion. And as the last caller said, no one wants to feel like a bigot. When you're being called a bigot by people of, you know, quote-unquote authority, that's, you know, it's a terrible way to be pigeonholed. It's just like the way they do at the Tea Party. You know, the gatherings used to be a lot larger than they used to be, even though the participation hasn't waned. People don't show up, though, in public because they don't want to be pigeonholed as being a bigot or racist or whatever, some kind of kook, because if you're not like them, then you're outside. In other words, their tolerance is only for their own
right.
point of view, and if you're outside of it, then you're obviously not touching.
They justify it, too, to say that we are intolerant towards intolerance. We are intolerant towards bigotry, and all you guys are bigots. And, you know, it makes me think of what the last caller said. No one wants to seem like they're bigoted. Most, you know, the great majority of Americans, you don't want to be characterized as intolerant, bigoted, hateful. So why would someone be characterized as intolerant, bigoted, and hateful if they say, you know, I really believe God made a man to marry a woman and so on, or I really believe that God's ways are best, or I really believe that Jesus is the way to salvation and forgiveness, and we need to follow his lead. Why would you be considered bigoted, hateful, intolerant? Because that's the way we're painted. That's
exactly
the way the world
I made one little comment on the website for Disney on their new TV show that's going to have two moms in it.
Charlie, I'm going to talk about that, in fact, in a moment.
But the thing was is that the responses I got from my minor little thing, which basically said I was unhappy with it, wouldn't be watching any more Disney programs, the responses were so intolerant of me.
Yep, you got blasted. Yeah, got to go. Hey, got to go, but I'm sure you got blasted for an innocent little comment.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown. God of burning,
cleansing flame, sand. They called it. Thought crime was not a thing that could be concealed forever. You might dodge successfully for a while, but sooner or later, they were bound to get you.
Yeah, the thought crimes, the group think, what's acceptable and what's not. If you think wrongly about someone, is that going to be a crime? Hey, friends, we're not that far away from it, are we? If you hold to a particular viewpoint, you have to totally keep it to yourself. It can't be expressed. And maybe even just holding to the viewpoint itself is wrong and unacceptable. 866-348-7884, what our caller was referring to. In a groundbreaking move for Disney Channel, the series Good Luck Charlie will welcome a same-sex family in its next season due early 2014. TV Guide revealed that in an upcoming episode, Bob and Amy Duncan will set up a playmate for their preschooler Charlie and one of her new friends. When the kid arrives, the family learns that Charlie's friend has two moms, which is fine. So that's now on the Disney Channel, and you're a hate-filled, intolerant bigot if you don't like it. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Jeff in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me. I wanted to check in. You had mentioned that, you know, we want to get teachers into the public schools to shine like lights, and I agree with that. I've been doing it for 12 years. But there are going to be some systems that are so given over to what's coming from the federal Common Core shift, I can already see right now, that they're going to call teachers, they're going to micromanage classrooms, they're going to force teachers to teach a curriculum that is ungodly. And we need, as Christians, to stand and draw a line, because it's not worth a paycheck. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world only to lose his soul? So I'm getting out of the system from what I can see right now in Massachusetts. You can already see there are already certain systems that are already headlong into this, teaching and forcing a curriculum down the throats of kids who are, many of them are Christian too, but
right,
they don't have a choice
it.
Because they're in this system. So I just want to throw that out there too. If there's a system that is still where you're able to teach and just teach the academic stuff, it's not now, you know, they want to basically politicize and hypersexualize and all these things that have nothing to do with an education. And, you know, I just think we've got to be able to also draw that line and do what's right and stand on the right side of God's word on these things.
Yeah, and Jeff, I appreciate the efforts that you've made over 12 years, and I do understand that there are quite a number of places where any biblical viewpoint, moral viewpoint, family viewpoint that we would hold to is shut out and excluded. A caller called me not that many weeks ago about the Common Core issues, and I was not that familiar with it. I've looked at it more, and of course, there's an uprising across the nation over where this could
it's
be
a federal
going.
Consolidation. They want to micromanage from the federal government down to our classrooms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, what we have to do, though, is stand and do what we know how to do. And if we get pushed out or if we have to move out, then we do that. all too often, Jeff, I'm afraid that so many of us, in whatever situations we find ourselves, put self-preservation ahead of doing what's right. And I fully agree. There are places where we can't, or where if this is what the authority says, then we have to respectfully obey that and move on. But I'm sure you've seen it all along that people think, well, I can't speak out. I can't stand for what's right. If I do, it'll hurt me professionally. So what we do is we lose our lives by trying to save them, and we no longer have an influence. Pastors lead it. Leaders do it all the time as well. Jeff, may the Lord bless you in whatever steps you take. I believe you do want to make a difference. Now, that comment gets me back to Edward Snowden in terms of if you feel the government's trying to take over and is intrusive in our business. And just on another level now, if you look at him as a hero or as a traitor. So let's go very quickly to Patrick in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Brown. First off, I've got your email about your new TV show, and I'm a new torchbearer, so I'm going to increase my giving. I'm real excited about that venture that you're going into.
Oh, well, thank you, man. That means the world to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate what you're doing. I think based on what I've heard publicly so far about Mr. Snowden, I believe that he's a hero. Again, based on what I've heard, because his intentions appear to be that of a whistleblower. I was a former elected official for nearly 8 years, and when you take office, you swear to uphold the Constitution. And I find it interesting that we have the politicians at the federal level on both sides that are attacking this young man and, you know, calling for his head, and yet they've sworn to uphold the Constitution, but they've also created laws that allow them to skirt around that. Now that this has come out, you know, I think it's a bit alarming, because if you're going to violate the Constitution, then, I mean, you know, we're a country of laws.
Right, right. I understand. It's one of those things where you don't get the feeling. I mean, right now, he's obviously giving up his entire future as an American to do this if he survives extradition and so on, or some other type of attack. So you wonder what was the motivation, and was it a noble motivation? But it is interesting how many Americans are viewing him as a hero, whereas there are others saying, well, he's just a traitor and it's treasonous. So, Patrick, thank you for weighing in. And again, thank you for your support and your kind words. I appreciate it. I will take a few more calls on the Eric Snowden situation and your perception. So if you'd like to weigh in on that, just get on the line now, and we'll get your calls early in the next hour. 866-348-7884. My latest article on Charisma News, 6 Lessons from the Collapse of Exodus International. I think you'll find it very, very helpful. It'd be great to spread and share with others who are saying, what about, I heard on Lisa Ling last week, and Exodus is closing down, and they said that gays can't really change, and the church has been hurting them with its message, and so on. I think this will really help you as you read the article. And then I'm encouraging every one of you, if you love your pastor, if you love the leader of your congregation, and for your own edification, but then for the edification of your leaders, get a copy of my message, Politician, Prophet, or Professional. It will stir you, and then give a surge of encouragement and strength to your leaders. And if you're a pastor leader listening, by all means get this. Your gift of any size, I want to send you this audio CD to listen to, along with a 5x7 card on 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Again, your gift of any size. So help us spread holy propaganda across the nation. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, I know how pervasive secular media is, and I know the world loves its own, but do not we have an infinitely more powerful message in the gospel? Jesus crucified and risen. Well, we've seen how unholy propaganda through the media has transformed the nation for the worst, How about some holy propaganda shaking this country?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, you're not going to have a revolution without propaganda. You're not going to have a revolution without propaganda. Oh, I'm talking about something good, something positive today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-348-7884. I'm talking about a Jesus kind of revolution. I'm talking about one that sets captives free, that overcomes evil with good, that overcomes hatred with love, that brings a message of life and liberation and transformation. I want to present to you that the most dangerous book in the world is the Bible, and the most dangerous words in the world are the words of Jesus. And his words are a threat to the status quo of society and the status quo of the religious establishment. And his words advance the kingdom of God in the earth, not by force and coercion or hatred, intimidation, or violence. No, the words, the message of Jesus go forth in a life-transforming way that set captives free and bring life, not death. 866-348-7884. My question for you today, though, is this. How powerful has the propaganda of the world been? The secular media, how much has it transformed the thinking of young people and old people alike? How much has it transformed the thinking of young people and old people on moral and social issues and biblical values? How much have people been brainwashed? Listen to what our Attorney General Eric Holder had to say. The show today is not going to be about guns. Okay, so I don't want you to call me about gun control. All right, the show is not on that at all. But this is just an illustration of something that our Attorney General had to say about wanting to change people's thinking. He's specifically talking about gun control, but look at the strategy of which he speaks.
We need to get really innovative, creative things that are going to grab the attention of these kids and change, as I said, the way in which they think about guns. And so what I've asked is that the creative community in Washington, those ad agencies that create these snappy ads and make me buy things that I don't really need, devote that talent in a more constructive way so we can get at the minds of these young people. This informational campaign, I've also called on the newspapers and the television stations to devote to us time and space so that we can get these ads, so we can use these spots.
Yeah, so, you know, come up with creative ways to do this. You know, just like these ads get you to buy things that you don't need. I remember one night, it was late at night after ministry, finished reading, praying, studying, writing, whatever I was doing. I was in a hotel. I was going to rest, unwind. Maybe I'd finished a week of ministry, put on some sports or something just for a little while. And some infomercial came up. I forget what it was. You know, some ab exerciser thing. And no, I never ordered it. I ordered some other things that were stupid like that. You know, the magic pill that's going to fix everything. But, you know, get you in perfect shape. But I remember as I fell asleep, I thought to myself, I'm going to order that. And I woke up with this assurance that I was going to lose weight and get rid of that flab around my waist by using this thing. And I thought, isn't that what, like, had a mesmerizing effect? Eric Holder saying, yeah, that's what we need to do with gun control. Friends, you know, that's what's happened with issues having to do with homosexuality and morality and family values and many other standards. We've been mesmerized. The culture has been mesmerized, and the church has not done a good job of providing the antidote of revolutionary gospel propaganda.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, just a programming note for our broadcast tomorrow. All right, for our broadcast here tomorrow on The Line of Fire, it is pre-trib rapture call-in day. All right? Pre-trib rapture call-in day. I personally have not held to pre-trib rapture in well over 35 years, probably 36, 37 years, based on my study of Scripture. However, I've never divided over it. I've worked with fine Christians on both sides of the debate. Most of the time, as I've ministered around the world, it never even comes up. However, because I got asked about it constantly, and because I want to give those of you who differ with me, who hold to pre-trib rapture, an opportunity to call in and share your views, that's the number to call. Same number as always, 866-34-TRUTH. Call that number tomorrow between 2 and 4 Eastern Standard Time. So even if we're not live where you are, if that's the only time you can call, that's when we'll be on the air for 2 hours discussing this. Now, I may ask you a friendly question. I may ask you about another verse, but I will not embarrass anyone that calls. If you happen to call with a wrong attitude and are nasty and abusive and are going to correct the whole world, well, then I will gently and lovingly put you in your place. But I don't expect that, because we're just going to learn from each other and sharpen each other in the Word. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Chris in Massapequa on Long Island. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for your show. I really appreciate your ministry. I just wanted to weigh in on the whole, like, Christian propaganda, holy propaganda thing, because
yes,
I was thinking about it, and our the things we say aren't as effective as the secular media, because our image has been defamed as Christians, as followers of Christ. So what do you think about that? I mean, apart from the Holy Spirit, our testimony...
Yeah, I'd say you've got two things going on here. Okay, I would say two things are happening. Number one, there has been an all-out assault by the media on our values, on our beliefs for years now. Religious leaders are characterized as buffoons, as hypocrites. Stories about Jesus are portrayed in every type of bizarre, unbiblical way. There has been a very aggressive pro-abortion media, very progressive pro-homosexuality media, and so on. So there has been an all-out attack on our viewpoints and our beliefs, on the one hand. At the same time, and this is where I've got to be painfully honest, Chris, we have fallen short in so many ways. We have failed to speak the truth in love. We have put our apples in a political apple cart, for the most part, a political basket, and thought this is how we're going to bring about change. We've had so much hypocrisy, so many scandals in our midst that we've played into the stereotypes. We have not had a fresh wave of national revival for some years. We have thought by just becoming relevant and like the world, we will somehow win the world rather than becoming like Jesus to win the world. So for all those reasons, we have lost our credibility. The solution to me is to repent of our own sins, unashamedly recommit ourselves to the truth, pray for God's anointing and blessing, and then stand up full of love, full of the Spirit, speak the truth, live out the truth, and every forum, place, setting that God gives us an opportunity to, and let the chips fall where they may, let the consequences be what they may, but that's the only way that change is going to come.
Amen. Couldn't put it any better. It's right. Really kind of disheartening, you know, that our image is so ruined, people won't even listen. But God could do anything.
Yeah, and look, remember Jesus said that if we were of the world would love us as its own. So on the one hand, I understand that the world is not going to love Jesus or the things of the Lord, that in that sense, darkness is not going to love light. So when we come with our powerful biblical and social arguments for pro-life, that those who love abortion and those who love the ways of the world and those who are part of that culture of death will not hear us. At the same time, I have no question that we could walk and live in such a way so as to be far more worthy of the respect of many in the world. And there are many out there who are confused. There are many out there who are wondering who we really are. And as we stand for truth and as we live it out, change will come. There will be holy propaganda that brings about change, beginning with the message of the scriptures directly. Thanks, Chris, for the call. 866-348-7884. Just got this email sent by a conservative activist. Even Fox News, a perceived conservative source, runs same-sex supporting stories 4-1. According to this article from American Renewal Project News. Now I can't repeat this in terms of that I've been able to study this out directly, but according to this, it says Pew Research study reveals a 5-1 bias for same-sex marriage in media coverage. Of course, CNN and MSNBC were over the top. Sadly, even Fox News, a perceived conservative source, ran same-sex supporting stories 4-1. Friends, I'm willing to raise my voice to make a difference. I'm willing to be one of those voices in the media speaking truth to power, but we need many, many more, and we need your support to help us do this even better. We cannot depend on secular media, including Fox. 866-348-7884. Before I continue the discussion of the media, I asked a question last hour that I'm curious to know your take on. I only took a few calls on. I'm going to take a few more. Edward Snowden, the young man who worked with National Security Agency, who is now fleeing for his life and somehow a step ahead of the American government, is he a hero for showing how the administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration, according to him, were eavesdropping on us and getting secrets about our lives that they had no business getting, and that these were being disseminated to all types of other people that had no business getting this information? Or is he a traitor who should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law? Is he a hero or is he a traitor? I ask this question partly out of curiosity, but partly because it ties in with some of our feelings towards government and perhaps even towards media. The couple of calls I took on this the first hour, or the beginning of this hour, hailed him as a hero. I want to take some more. Kevin in Nyack lost Kevin, but Kevin was another voice saying that he thought Eric Snowden was a hero. It's interesting to me. It makes me wonder if, with the profusion of information that we get and supposed free media, if Americans are not wondering how free things are after all. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Shirley in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. And let me take you off a trick or thing. Yes, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thanks. How about you?
Good. Okay. Regarding the infomercial, or whatever it's called, infomercial, that the Attorney General was talking about, I think that the president needs to apologize to young people and make it clear to them, because I think they have misunderstood him. And I think they believe that it's okay to do wrong. We have young criminals out here because they literally think that it's okay to do wrong to other people and to take from other people. And as a consequence, we're killing our young people on what they think the president wants them to do.
All right, so what's your take? What's your take in terms of the effect that commercials, TV, ads,
what these kids are watching?
How is the younger generation in particular being brainwashed? Is that too strong a word to use?
Well, you know, quite honestly, I cannot speak to what's going on, what the kids are looking at on the television. I do not watch television. But here, certainly, if you can get information to especially teenagers to do right. Can you imagine if President Obama were to get on that television and say, listen, it is not okay for you to take from other people. It is not okay to rob, smash, and grab like what happened in Atlanta last night at one of the shopping malls. I think they took $900,000 worth of watches out of a case. See, they think this is activity for them. And so they've misunderstood what the president has said. He has not made himself clear, and he has to help the young people by telling them, no, this is not what you do. You do not get even with your people you don't like. Even in my neighborhood, we have never had such incidents. Mm.
And Shirley, I got a break coming up, but I wonder, I'm really curious, if the president got up and said that, what impact he would have, how many people would listen. I'm curious. I'd love to see him do it. But thanks for the call, Shirley. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you. At the time of the American Revolution, we're talking about our Revolution of Independence from England. How influential were pastors and leaders, Christian leaders, at that time? 866-348-7884. Any of you studied the history of that period? Any of you familiar with it? Maybe you're a school teacher and you cover this regularly. Maybe you've just gone through this with your kids, homeschooling, or getting ready for July 4th. Maybe you've just looked at this over the years. Enlighten our listening audience. How influential, how vocal were pastors, were American clergy during that time? Perhaps some of you can weigh in on the voice of Christians, Christian leaders, pastors, clergy, authors, others, in terms of freedom of the slaves in America, undoing one of our great evils in our history. How influential were pastors, Christian leaders in that? 866-348-7884. You say, Mike, I thought you're talking about media and influence of the media and the need for holy propaganda. That's what I call it, holy propaganda, meaning God's word, God's truth, God's message getting out to the society. So how's that tie in with the Revolutionary War, Civil War? Oh, come on, ties in, obviously. Because there were people who were involved in, quote, ministry, who got a message out that impacted the society. And their message impacting society changed the history of America. Am I listening? Or am I ready to listen? Come on, I've put out some really obscure questions sometimes, and immediately experts will call in. Many of you listening know the history of the American Revolutionary War pretty well. How influential were clergy, pastors, leaders? How strong was their voice in helping to foment the war? Now, you might say they had good influence or bad influence, meaning you might say, well, they should have just said we should just be passive, we shouldn't fight British, or we shouldn't get engaged in a war, civil war, in terms of freedom of the slaves. That's a separate issue. I'm talking about the influence that they had. 866-348-7884. Look, when we jump ahead to the Civil War, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War, you know the story about Harriet Beecher Stowe, don't you? She wrote the book Uncle Tom's Cabin. It originally was coming out in serialized form, and the publisher wanted her to help pay for it because they didn't think they'd really sell enough. And then it becomes an overnight bestseller, and it rocks the nation. And years later, according to the story, President Lincoln met her and said, "You're the little woman who wrote that book that started this great war." That's the power of what a book can do. That's the power of what literature can do. They didn't have TV back then. They didn't have radio back then. They didn't have internet and social media back then. But I would dare say the world is getting out its message far more effectively, far more widely, far more fearlessly than we are getting our message out. And often we're not even educating our own people, our own followers, our own constituents. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jim in Garner, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. What you just said is exactly what I wanted to talk about. I recently, what's been a little while ago, read a book called The Marketing of Evil. And it's an interesting book because it really outlines just the intense campaign that, specifically in that book, the gay and lesbian people have gone through to make sure that their agenda is publicized, it's on TV, it's in ads. It's actually an integral part of television shows, of the plots of these shows.
Yep.
That's a very extensive, very broad-based advertising campaign, and it's been very effective. What I don't know how to do is to counter that
yeah.
in that same magnitude, that same scale. You know, what we can do is preach and teach and do the best, you know, we can under the power of the Holy Spirit to see that his word goes out, but it's really hard for us to take over the media.
Right, it is. Now, Jim, you raise a bunch of excellent points. Of course, you're talking about David Kupelian's book, The Marketing of Evil.
Right.
In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, what he focuses on one excellent chapter in his book, I focus on in 700 pages in my book,
right.
in every aspect of society, with one chapter just on what I refer to as Hollywood Celebration of Queer. And in point of fact, you are right. It is multifaceted because it's been the ideology of so many in Hollywood, so many writers, so many producers, so many directors, so many actors and actresses, so many newscasters and so on, so many talk show hosts, that it just filters its way throughout the society, and it's a constant bombardment without people even knowing. Here's the famous quote from Kirk and Madsen in the late 1980s, calling for, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Now, a few quick points, because I've got a break coming up, but I'm going to continue to talk about this, Jim, so keep listening in the next half hour. Number one, if we would do a good job across the board in our churches, in our Bible colleges and ministry schools, in our Sunday schools, we could more than overcome what's happening in the media. We could. That's where we start. If we did our part better without compromise, without fear, that's the first thing. The second thing is, if we simply quit watching the trash in large enough numbers across America, because so much of this is money-driven, shows would ultimately change. And look, once again, what is it, a G-rated movie, a Pixar animated movie, tops the box offices, because that still sells. So on the larger level, if we quit being entertained by trash ourselves and gave ourselves to the word and prayer and wholesome entertainment, media would change a lot. If we did a better job just with the vehicles, voices we had, we could make an impact. Jim, thank you for the call. All right, friends, I want to help your pastor, leaders of your church ministry, be bold and strong. I want to give them a shot of encouragement in the veins. And we have a CD message of mine, Politicians, Professionals, or Prophets, one of the most important leadership messages I ever preached, and also tremendously edifying for everyone to listen to. Get it on CD along with my 5x7 card, 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. It's yours for your gift of any size. Help us broadcast holy propaganda across the nation, and coming soon on TV. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But get a copy of this for yourself, for pastors, leaders. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org and take advantage of this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well. We are talking about holy propaganda today on the broadcast. 866-348-7884. My latest article, which you could read by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on the latest article, is called Six Lessons from the Collapse of Exodus International, and it is getting a lot of attention, been shared over 1,300 times in the first 4 hours that it has been up. And you may have heard this, you may not. Exodus International, which is the largest network of ex-gay organizations and ministries, has folded. And the leader of Exodus International, a man that I had the privilege of working with some years ago, Alan Chambers, has publicly apologized for what he says is harm that the ministry did to others. And unfortunately, the main thing that the culture, that the nation knows about this is, yeah, this ex-gay stuff just doesn't work. People just really can't change. There isn't really hope for change. And here's the biggest ministry folding. Oh, no. See, there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot of truth that's not being told. There are thousands of success stories in the church and through professional counseling around America and around the world. We hear from the people, meet them all the time, wherever we go. And for many, just overcoming a bondage and addiction to sex and the flesh in general, now living a holy life, even if people haven't become heterosexual, that's also been a great success story for many of them as well. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about that in the secular media, do you? When Lisa Ling on the Oprah Network reports on this, you don't hear about this. You just hear slanderous reports, and you may watch a sitcom, and there's the mockery of these guys in ex-gay therapy. Now they all end up sleeping together. Ha, ha, ha. And then you find out that somebody kills a person, and who was it? Oh, it was this pastor's son, and the pastor was actually a hypocrite and claiming that people could change, and the son was oppressed. And all these horror stories, that's what you're going to get through the media that's been planned, or it's just reflecting the heart, the ideology of those who are out there. We, by God's grace, are raising a voice. We, among others, raising a voice to say, here's the truth. The world is not reporting it accurately. They're not giving you the whole story. By God's grace, we're giving you the rest of the story. By God's grace, we are giving you the rest of the story and saying there is a whole other message that the world is not getting. 866-348-7884. It's what I call holy propaganda. Propaganda in itself is just getting the message out. Every revolution has propaganda. There's Islamic propaganda. There's liberal democratic propaganda. There's conservative Republican propaganda. There's gay activist propaganda. There's pro-abortion propaganda. There's pro-life propaganda. The question is, who's getting the message out better and who is speaking the truth? 866-34-TRUTH. Andy Comiskey, a leader, former homosexual himself, and a leader now with the Restored Hope Network that God has raised up. Many of the top organizations already left Exodus when it departed from its mission months ago, and they've started the Restored Hope Network. We covered this. We were on top of this months and months ago, and then even before the official announcement of Exodus collapsing, we were already promoting Restored Hope Network right here. But Andy Comiskey says this, that we really look to the popular arts for moral excellence. Last week was a new low. Speaking of a week before, Broadway bestowed unprecedented honors, 6 Tony Awards upon Kinky Boots, a new musical about Lola, a black drag queen who revives a dying shoe factory by assembling fetish-style footwear with the help of fellow drag queens. Most of the numbers features guys in lingerie, and you guessed it, kinky boots. No big deal, you say, a trifle for Broadway's effete audiences. Just wait till Kinky Boots is playing at a high school near you. And he goes on and on in terms of awards and celebration given to the most raunchy stuff out there, some of it pure porn, all because of same sex. It's good. We'll be back.
single flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, 866-348-7884. Look, I'm looking at an article that came out a little over a year ago. Malik Zulu Shabazz, David Duke, and me. And I start off by saying I never expected to be on the same list with the leader of the new Black Panthers, Malik Zulu Shabazz, a former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, a Jew-bashing white supremacist, Don Black, and a neo-Nazi, Morris Gullet. But thanks to the investigative genius, sarcasm intended, of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, I have made it into the big time. Yes, according to the SPLC's latest intelligence report, I am now on the illustrious list of 30 new activists heading up the radical right. Yeah, that's me, yours truly. Also on the list were Pamela Geller, anti-Muslim, according to them, Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, Patriot Movement, David Barton, anti-gay historical revisionist, among others. Yes, these are just some of the new activists heading up the radical right. Now, actually, when I was sent an email from a friend asking if I knew I was on that list, I got to be honest with you, it made my night. It literally made my night. I felt joy and blessing because I knew it was all reproach for the gospel. But just remind you, you're going to stand up for truth. You're going to get vilified. You're going to get attacked. The Family Research Council was literally attacked. A man went in there with murderous intentions to slaughter 10, 15 of their people, and by God's grace was stopped. But he got his information that Family Research Council in D.C., a fine Christian organization, was a hate group and got their location based on SPLC information. You get on people's hate lists and hit lists when you stand for the truth. What does that do? It fuels my fire to stand for the truth in love all the more. And friends, I want to urge you, I want to personally ask you to go to my website today, askdrbrown.org, and right on the homepage, the very first thing you'll see is that we are going on national television. God has opened a door through the NRB TV network, which broadcasts already in more than 32 million homes across America. It's a show called Answering Your Toughest Questions, and we're starting off with TV history, something that's never been done, a 32-week series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Can you believe that? The potential impact that can have equipping the church and reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's just to get us started. We need your help to do this. We need your help to continue to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution here on the radio, and to continue to have my hands held up to write day and night to get out messages. We just finished the Hyper Grace book, and now I'm working on Can You Be Gay and Christian? And every week, one, two, three articles meant to have a revolutionary impact. Help us get this holy propaganda out to the nation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Damon in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Damon. Are you there? We've lost him. 866-34-TRUTH. Grace in Irving, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, doctor. Thank you for having me. I would just have to say that I think that the same-sex people, secular people, how, like all these other subjects, they're succeeding in the propaganda because it's the lifestyle they're living. And us as Christians, we have to come together and to really apply the Word of God in our lives and to really obey Him and His commandments so that we can live the lifestyle and be able to just naturally spread the Word of God. You know, it is so sad. I was reading an article today on CNN, and a Harvard University is bringing up a church without God. That was the title of the article. And they're just asking people to just come out and just be themselves. And if you don't like God, that's okay. Just come to us. And it is just so sad because we are so separated. You have this kind of church and that kind of church where really we have to come together. And
But, you know, the point that you make, Grace, I made this years ago when I taught on homosexuality, the church, and society, that we think we can bring about change by going to church, having a nice service, and going home, and having like an hour in the word or prayer or worship together. Whereas someone who says, I'm homosexual, I'm lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever, that's not something they're doing one day a week or 1 hour a week. That's who they are. Exactly. I don't mean they're thinking about sex day and night, but that's who they are. And for a lot of them, that becomes the main cause of life, to be accepted, to be respected for who they are, to be able to quote, marry, and so on and so forth, you know, the same sex. So we have not fought fire with fire in that sense. In other words, we haven't realized that just as it is a lifestyle for them, that this is who they are. Again, I don't mean sleeping around and promiscuity day and night. I just mean an identification. They'd say, this is who I am. We say, well, we love the sinner, we hate the sin. They'd say, you hate me, this is who I am. Well, this is who we are as followers of Jesus. Unashamed. I mean, how is it? Please, someone tell me how it can be that you can still have vulgar gay pride events marching down the heart of a city. You can have that. You can have the most vulgar, shameful displays. I'm not saying it's the only thing that goes on at gay pride events, but that's been a prominent feature in the big ones for many, many years. The most vulgar public displays, you know, some man in some ridiculous, risque female outfit performing in the most shameful ways on a float and everybody clapping. And we're ashamed to just live for Jesus and hold to biblical values, or even take a Bible to work with us, or let people know we really believe. We feel like we have to apologize for it. How in the world could that be? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Danielle in Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
I listen to primarily Christian radio, and I switch between that and National Public Radio to get my news off and on during the day. And every day my sensibilities are a little more, you know, it's today it was equivocating the struggle for homosexual marriage with the struggle for African Americans during the days of slavery to become married, and no pun intended, they've wedded these two things as if somehow they're one and the same.
Oh yeah,
and it's just amazing to me. How can people? I'm not African American, but my goodness, how could you would think the African community would be African American community would be absolutely
yeah.
outraged.
Many are. Yeah, Danielle, many are. Many African-American leaders are. They said you cannot possibly compare the two, and you cannot compare the suffering of the two different groups, although any suffering for any individual, it can be avoided. We want to avoid it. But, yeah, absolutely, the comparison is completely bogus. I've written about it for years. Others have written about it, spoken about it for years. And yet it's just everybody just accepts it. You're born this way. You can't change. It's a civil right. It's the same as skin color. And you're being no different. When you say that two men or two women can't marry, you're being no different than the Americans who said a black man can't marry a white woman. It's like, no. When we said a black man can't marry a white woman or vice versa, that was discriminatory. And that was not based on anything in terms of male-female compatibility or the meaning of marriage. That was a prejudicial, discriminatory thing. But to say two men or two women shouldn't marry is obviously based on the fundamental nature of a man and the fundamental nature of a woman and the fundamental nature of marriage. Not only that, what about the fact that a black person doesn't have to come out as being black? Whether they like it or not, that's who they are. But someone's got to come out and identify themselves as gay or lesbian. And what about the fact that there are many, many who found their attractions have changed, either through therapy or through the gospel or just over a period of time? They found their behaviors have changed, so change is possible. And there's no scientific evidence that anyone's actually born gay, no reputable scientific evidence for that. So on every level, the comparison doesn't work. I have a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America called Is Gay the new black. But Danielle, you're absolutely right. It's believed. It's just the mantra. It's what the media says. That's where we've got to do a better job, friends, of getting the truth out. We come back. I want to take some more calls. And boy, I'm surprised my phone lines did not get lit up with all of you who wanted to talk to me about the Black Robe Regiment. I'm surprised the phone lines didn't burn up immediately when I asked about the participation of the clergy, American pastors and leaders in the American Revolution. Friends, time for holy propaganda to get out.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, look at the influence of secular media in terms of shaping the minds, the hearts, beliefs of so many Americans. Then look on conservative radio. If I mention them, Rush Limbaugh, many of you love Rush Limbaugh, many of you are not his fans. But look at the influence he has nationally. I believe we are supposed to have that same kind of influence, but for the gospel, for the kingdom of God, on shows like this and on networks like this and stations like this across America. And then by raising our voice in written form on the internet and newspapers and magazines across the country. I believe as we live this out and speak the truth in love without compromise, we can literally help spark a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution in America. That's why I'm on the air. That's why I'm on the air. And all of you faithful supporters, friends, torchbearers, that's what you're helping us do to help really move forward a holy propaganda machine, the Line of Fire propaganda machine, doing our very best to be word-based, Jesus-exalting, Spirit-empowered revolutionaries. 866-348-7884. Please go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. I'm asking you personally, as soon as you have the opportunity, go there and then click on the very first slide that you'll see, the very first thing you'll see that comes up on the website about our new TV show set to begin broadcasting July 10th, Wednesday night, July 10th, answering your toughest questions with a 32-week series never been done before on national TV on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. And be sure to click on my latest article there on the website, 6 Lessons from the Collapse of Exodus International. Let me go back to the phones. John in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Basically, I want to say real quickly, and I'll get out of your way. It seems like such a beginning of time, people never learn. That's what makes us human. And that's what makes Jesus who he is and God who he is. But we never learn. We always go after where we can benefit the most. That's what it seems like. And it seems like these politicians definitely know how to play the game to make you feel like you're going to get everything, and then you don't get anything except what they're doing right now. Number one. Number two, I believe that people... You know, you're not going to gain anything by violence. I believe that people, I don't care who you are, what color, what creed, what nation you're from, if you join hands and live by the Bible and do what the Bible tells you, teaches you to do, we can overcome anything and any politician and any government.
And John, you're right.
In a peaceful, loving way.
A peaceful, Christ-like way, where anything, any movement that's going to be built on hatred, intimidation, violence... is going to dishonor God and then fall to another movement that's going to be based on hatred, intimidation, violence. There's a time to protect your borders. We understand that. There's a time for just war. There's a time to try to stop the Nazis from their murderous campaigns. We understand that. But, John, you know, you are so right that we don't learn, that each time something goes around, the white evangelicals, you know, throw their hat in with the Republicans and the black evangelicals throw their hat in with the Democrats. And we all think this time it's going to change things. And that, and we get the same disappointment and the same junk. And I'm looking at a quote from Francis Schaeffer that I quote in my Revolution book from his Christian Manifesto. He said, also very often among many evangelicals, including many evangelical leaders, it seems that the final end is to protect their own projects. Oh, isn't that the truth? Look, there was a time in American history, the Revolutionary War, where American clergy were right on the front lines of that, saying that we were to break the yoke of England from off of us. And according to the hated and loved Christian historian David Barton, the Blackborough Regiment was the name that the British placed on the courageous and patriotic American clergy during the founding era, a backhanded reference to the black robes they wore. Significantly, the British blamed the Black Regiment for American independence, and rightfully so, for modern historians have documented that, quote, there is not a right asserted in the Declaration of Independence which had not been discussed by the New England clergy before before 1763, quoting from a book that came out years later. Barton says, it's strange to today's generation to think that the rights listed in the Declaration of Independence were nothing more than the listing of sermon topics that had been preached from the pulpit in the two decades leading up to the American Revolution, but such was the case. Here's the thing. No, we do not dominate the media today. Quite the contrary. I don't know if conservative believers ever dominated the American media. No, we do not dominate the college university scene, although we once did. You go to the mid-1800s and well over 200 of the first schools that had been founded for higher education in America had been founded by Christian organizations and denominations. And the most elite schools of all, Yale, Harvard, were explicitly, fundamentally Christian for the glory of God and for training people for ministry and then for people in society to come and be educated before going into their secular careers. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I have a whole chapter on campuses and a queer thing happened to America, and I talk about there where the campuses started, where they are today. So no, we do not have our influences on the campuses that we once had. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Our views are persecuted and rejected on campuses across America and restricted across America. And we do not have the influence in media that we ought to have. But we have a lot of open doors. So much of Christian TV is just trash. In that respect, I agree with Pastor John MacArthur in a Strange Fire conference. I've raised concerns about painting with such a broad brush and indicting charismatics in general and so on, but there's so much out there that's just trash and lightweight. And we have so many opportunities to do better in so many ways. And if we preached and taught with more concern to awaken the flock, awaken the congregation, and not so much concern about how people are going to like me or the tither's going to leave or what, we can make a difference. We can make a difference, friends. I believe now is the time for a moral, spiritual, cultural revolution based on the principles of Jesus like never before. I want to ask you to partner with me to bless your pastor, to bless your church leaders, to bless your Bible study teachers. Inject a shot of courage and strength and encouragement into their veins. Get this message I preached at a large leadership conference in 1998, one of the clearest leadership messages I've ever given in my life. And it's had a tremendous impact on so many thousands then and since. It's called Politicians, Professionals, or Prophets. It will open your eyes and the eyes of those who listen. The CD, the audio CD, plus my 5x7 card, 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary, is yours for your gift of any size as you hold our hands up and help us go out and make a difference through the airwaves. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Here you go one more time. 1-800-278-9978 or go to AskDrBrown.org. Let's stand together and make a difference. Get this in the hands of your leaders. They will thank you for it. My bottom line today, let us stand up with courage and proclaim the truth in love without apology. The nation needs to hear from us.